And a good Saturday morning to you, the 28th of June this time around. And let me say hello not only to Julie Weisenor from the U of M, but to John Trappi as well. Good morning, Julie and John.
Morning, Denny.
Good morning, Denny.
Yeah, nice to have you both back on here. I know, in fact, folks, we talked about your arrival a couple of hours ago, and we already have a lineup of lawn and garden questions this morning. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. But if you're a regular, you know how busy we tend to get. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a lawn or garden question for Julie and John this morning. 651-461-9226. I know a lot of people, many people, are kind of tired of the rain. I am not. After a couple of years of drought and my lawn looking so bad, it's finally getting the drink it deserves. It's looking better, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. And I know some folks who have outdoor plans are kind of been bummed about it. But this is really good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Go ahead,
for our
John.
Trees too. I think a lot of things have really struggled, and it became apparent after this past winter where a lot of things just didn't really green up like they normally do. So this has been a certainly a relief to be getting caught up like this.
And I must say, a really great crop of weeds as well. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
It's been quite a good weed season too. So it's important to stay up on those weeds, though. They compete with our desirable plants for things like nutrients and also space and sunlight. And so we want to keep those weeds at bay as best as we can.
It's a text that came in just a bit ago, wondering what Julie and John think of a clover lawn. Who would I call to do this for me? There's a listener that wants clover.
Yeah, there's a number of lawn care companies out there. Quite frankly, I think any company, if that's what you're interested in doing, should be capable of doing it, because seeding with Dutch white clover into a lawn is very easy to do and can be done almost any time during the growing season. So one of the challenges with a clover lawn is a lot of people think that they should have a pure clover lawn. And what we found is if you're looking to do that, it's best to add in some grasses with it, because white clover, even though it is a fairly resilient plant, it's not very drought tolerant, heat tolerant, shade tolerant, and it's also not very foot traffic tolerant. So it works best with grasses, things like the fine fescues, and most lawn care companies could do it, or you could try to do it yourself for really minimal expense.
Yeah, very good. Let's grab a phone call this morning. John is checking in from Montgomery this morning, I believe. John, thank you. What is your question this morning?
Oh, thank you. I was just waiting for today so I can call with this. I looked at the internet, can't find any answer. I have a tree problem. I have three, I'm 99% sure they're ash trees in my backyard. One of them is right over my deck, and it is dropping something onto my deck that is sticky, and okay. It's making my deck just about useless.
Okay. So what is happening with that tree most likely is you have aphids in that tree. So aphids are a sucking insect. They excrete something called honeydew. And it is a clear, sticky substance. And that is what is hitting your deck at this point. So the only way to get rid of that or to change that is to have the tree treated by a certified arborist. And they would spray the tree at that point. It's literally, I'll say it's almost impossible for a homeowner to treat a large tree like that for aphids. Now, aphids are very prolific. They reproduce rapidly and they put out numerous populations. So sometimes when we have insect issues, it's just their population, kind of their level of population changes as temperatures and conditions and predator numbers change. So it's unfortunate. I've heard that with black walnut trees also, that people have aphid issues sometimes. And you can clean the honeydew off with a deck wash. You're going to want to contact a certified arborist to come and either spray or use a systemic on your plant.
Very good. Listener sent this text earlier. What is the appropriate way and when is the appropriate time to deadhead peonies?
Now is a good time to deadhead peonies. As soon as the blossoms have dropped off, the petals have dropped off, and you see kind of the seed pod forming, the center of the plant, you want to go ahead and deadhead those. And you can cut them down a couple of nodes down to a growing point and just compost those seed heads.
Julie, there was not really a follow-up, but a texter sent this, interesting enough, about aphids that you were just talking about. They have a tree that will be treated. But what can we use on our perennials and annuals that may also have an aphid problem?
If you have an aphid problem, the best thing to do is try to encourage their predators, things like ladybugs and praying mantis, etc. But you can also blast the plants with water, and it will depend on the plant itself if it can hold up to that spray. You can do that, but you can also treat them with a insecticidal soap or horticultural oil or neem oil, and they're all, you can buy them all ready to spray from your local garden center.
Okay. John, when to fertilize and weed control is the basic text question here. Can you do that right now still?
We're getting close to the point where we're getting towards the heat of the summer, and so you don't necessarily want to encourage your lawn to be growing a lot, you know, right when it could, you know, turn into really drought conditions pretty quickly. So what I would do at this point is I would hold off after about July 1, hold off until late August, early September, and then begin fertilizing again with some kind of rain or irrigation system. With that said, if you are going to fertilize, or if you fertilized recently, if you do have an irrigation system, you can use, just make sure you're using slow release fertilizer sources. That's either organic fertilizer sources or something that's like a coated urea that's a slow or controlled release. Those will not necessarily encourage a flush of growth, but will feed the lawn throughout the summer. But again, I would avoid that unless you have an irrigation system or unless you really need to for that. As far as weed control, you can treat for weeds right now. Just make sure that you are following the pesticide label. Some herbicides have restrictions or directions to not apply over, let's say, 85 degrees. And that's because they can also harm the turf when otherwise they would normally be safe. So it's not the best time of year for trying to control weeds, but weeds like broadleaves, but that's typically in the fall. But you can control crabgrass post-emergently with a number of post-emergent products if that's what you're interested in doing. Just again, follow the label instructions. Quinclorac is one of the best active ingredients for post-emergent crabgrass control right now.
And if you want some pretty good reading, check out the university website, extension.umn.edu. If you have any questions, it's amazing what you can find there. And Julie and John, what you and your colleagues have done with that website, it's just packed with some great help.
Yeah, and we have a great page on weeds. So it's called Weeds in Lawns and Gardens, where we have written pretty comprehensive. I shouldn't take too much credit for this. It was John and our friend Noah Burley. They wrote these web pages about, I think they're about 12 of the most common lawn and garden weeds that we have. And they're very comprehensive pages. So they talk about managing bicultural control, which is non-chemical most of the time, and then also chemical control as well. So you get some background on the plant as well, such as the white Dutch clover we were talking about earlier, and how it's beneficial for pollinators. So great pages, Weeds and Lawns, and it's at extension.umn.edu, and go to Yard and Garden.
Absolutely. We'll mention that again, as we always like to do. Julie and John, hang on, please. We'll take this quick break. Be right back on the other side. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call it in, text it in, 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830 WCCO. And we thank Great Garage Floors for keeping this show alive here in 830 WCCO. Also, we'd like to thank Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi for helping us out here on the show this morning. Call us or text us with your lawn or garden question at 651-461-9226. Oh, we have so many here. Where do we begin? All right. Good morning. Texture says, we bring downed needles from the huge red pine trees at our cabin in northern Minnesota to use in our garden in Faribault. We put them down in rows of our raspberries as mulch to help keep weeds down. Is there any reason this might be harmful to any plants in the garden?
No, this is a great idea. Great way to use those needles. Pine needles make a great mulch. They allow water to flow through them easily, but they also help to keep weeds down as well. And they look fantastic. So way to go.
All right. Another texter says, how do I get my rose bush to bloom? Any special fertilizer?
Well, roses do. We do have special rose fertilizers that you can purchase at your local garden center. And they do sometimes require a little boost. You can take a look at the different kinds that they have. Talk to one of the garden center specialists because they are very knowledgeable, and ask them what they would recommend for kind of pushing that bloom out. One of the things I wanted to mention, too, we were talking about fertilizing lawns, but also this is a good time to fertilize your containers and also your gardens as well, because right now we've had an awful lot of rain. And if you have containers, you've washed out a lot of the nitrogen that's in that soil or in earlier fertilizer applications that you've applied to those containers. So remember, the containers are a very small kind of growing environment. And so you'll need to reapply that fertilizer based on how your plant is performing and how much water it's been getting. And we've been getting so much rain that a lot of the nutrients have been washed out of those containers. So it's
good
a good
point.
Time to do that. So I'm glad somebody asked about the roses.
Yeah, excellent. This listener says, I have some native plants that I started, and I will be putting them in an area that has at least some quack grass. Will it work okay to mow or weed close to the surface of the soil, plant my plants, and cover the other, quote, grass with cardboard to eliminate the grass? Do you have any other suggestions?
Quack grass is really difficult to, probably the most difficult weed in the horticultural landscape in Minnesota. So it's a perennial. It spreads by rhizomes and seeds. You can use cardboard, but it's going to take literally months, and it may not necessarily work. Because some seeds may germinate once you remove the cardboard. But it's worth a shot. I think that's if you're against using herbicides like glyphosate, that's the next best option, is trying to basically smother the area and eventually dry and, just kind of cover the surface, and it'll kill the quack grass.
I'm really, I'm thinking and trying to visualize the space. So this is an area that they're transplanting native plants into. I would, if it was my area, I would get out there and start digging and try to dig out that quack grass as much as you can and just stay on top of it. You'll probably have to keep doing it. But I think leaving the cardboard is one approach to smothering weeds. But boy, I wouldn't want to put in a lot of plants and then have to work through that quack grass to take care of them. So I would get as much of it out as you can at this point.
Okay. This listener plans to spot treat some garlic mustard in my bee lawn. Question is, if I treat one leaf of a cluster, will it kill the entire cluster?
That depends on what you're treating it with. Now, there are some selective herbicides that can be used, but nearly all of them are going to have some activity on those flowering plants that you want in your bee lawn. So as far as most of the selective herbicides that would work on garlic mustard, I would assume this person asking this question has already looked into this and identified the herbicide that would work. But generally, they are systemic. So if they do touch part of the leaves of the plants you're trying to control, you can kind of do that a little bit more conservatively and spray away from the plants you do want to keep, and it can translocate through the plant. That's not to say it's perfect, and there might be some soil activity depending upon the active ingredient. Like 2,4-D, for example, is a very common selective broadleaf herbicide. There is some soil residual activity. So if there are roots from the plants you do want to keep, that are also in that same area, they could take up some of that herbicide. So you have to be very careful. That's one of the biggest limitations with something like a bee lawn is selectively removing with chemicals, selectively removing weeds from that area and keeping the flowering plants you do want.
Okay. This listener via text said, I have an African violet plant that I received in February. The leaves look very healthy, but the blooms, but no blooms since the first set. Any suggestions?
I think it's just a patience thing at this point. So plants put out an awful lot of energy when they bloom. And so got to give them a little credit after they finish blooming. Just keep watering them, taking care of them properly. It sounds like you are. The leaves look great. And they'll push out a second flush of flowers, I'm sure, shortly.
All right. I'm looking at another text. How do I get rid of percane in my garden? What is that?
Percane. I don't know.
That's a new one for me, too.
Really?
If there's more information on that plant, I don't know what percane is.
Well, we'll get our research team on that during the break.
Yeah, I'll check it out here.
We'll go for that. Let's take a phone call this morning. Boris calling in from Minneapolis, I believe. Boris, good morning. What is your question for Julie and John?
I actually had a couple of questions, if I may. I was wondering if dog manure is good fertilizer, and also how do I mix up my compost pile? Is there a tool that they specify for that? Thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
Okay. Pet manure is not a good manure to use on plants because pets' manure carry pathogens that can be harmful to humans. So we do not recommend ever using dog or cat manure on any of your plants. They should be just disposed of in the garbage. And the second question was about composting.
Yeah, how to mix it up.
Oh, so you can use a garden fork and just turn it. Get into your compost pile or if you have a compost bin and just turn it and flip it. And what that does is it adds air into your compost. It also mixes the materials together and helps them break down better. If you find that you have an awful lot of kitchen scraps, say all your fruit and vegetable cuttings that you've thrown in there and the whole thing is getting a little rank, you can go ahead and add some dry materials like dry leaves, kind of woody material, but also then add a forkful of your garden soil too, because that garden soil contains organisms that can help to break down compost really easily. So just keep turning it and that will add that air and also mix those materials together better for better composting.
Very good. On that note, let's take a break for weather. And we have about another half hour of the show to go. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question for Julie and John, by all means, call it in or text it in. 651-461-9226. From Newstalk A3O, this is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, again presented by Great Garage Floors. Julie Weisenhorn, John Trappi from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions this morning at 651-461-9226. Julie and John, we wanted to kind of follow up on that one text. We weren't sure what that texter meant. Probably was a typo. We think we're talking about getting rid of purslane. What is that?
Purslane's a summer annual weed, broadleaf weed species that encroaches in lawn and gardens. So it germinates in the spring, grows, develops flowers, sets seed, and dies in the fall. So it's typically not a very common lawn problem because a dense and healthy turf is normally the best defense against weeds like common purslane. It typically needs soil disturbance. So sometimes you can find it in new lawns. But as far as controlling it after it's already emerged, the best way is there's a number of selective broadleaf herbicides that work very well on it. 2,4-D, triclopyr, fluroxypyr are all active ingredients at work. They're all found in most broadleaf, selective broadleaf weed killers.
Yeah, and purslane is actually edible. So it's kind of a succulent. I don't care for it. I've tried it, and it's a little slimy. But it is, as John said, it's common in disturbed soils. So in garden settings, you'll find it particularly along in very warm areas along sidewalks and in areas where you've been turning over the soil quite a bit. And it's very easy to remove. So it does not have a complex root system. You can dig it right out. Just take a shovel or a little trowel or your favorite weeding tool and just yank it out. So pretty easy to do.
John, a listener wants to know, with all this rain, how to repair a flooded lawn. Don't have that problem here, but I bet some people do.
Yeah, one of the issues with a flooded problem is that you get anaerobic environments, but typically the flooding has to take place, you know, for 48 or more hours before it becomes an issue for lawns. So if indeed that is the case, regardless, I would advise you to try to wait and see if the lawn comes back. A lot of times it can just be stunted because it takes a long time for that water to drain from the soil. So be patient, but otherwise, you know, really there's not a whole lot that you can do other than just to reseed or replant. So in that case, you might be having to try to do that later in the, you know, in the peak of the summer is very difficult to do. You may want to wait until the end of August. But regardless, patience is key. See how much of the lawn comes back. Try not to push it too much with fertilizer or any other types of management that's unnecessary.
All right, patience.
So, John, also it might be an opportunity to notice where you have compacted soil too, and plan on doing that core aeration in the fall.
Absolutely, that's a really good point, Julie. So, if you are seeing water pooling, especially, you know, even though we had 3.5 or 4 inches of rain in one day this past week, if you're seeing it on even lighter amounts of rain where water is pooling in your lawn, that can be an indication of compacted soil. And just like Julie had said, aeration is the remedy for that issue that can help with water infiltration and all kinds of air movement and other benefits for your lawn.
Yeah, for sure. Take a phone call this morning. Joey's calling in from Apple Valley this morning. Joey, what is your question for Julie and John?
Yes, I have beautiful delphinium that have outgrown the trellis. The poles are over 5 feet tall, and of course they're falling down from the rain, and I just don't know how to control them. Is there a hint about staking or trellis styles or something that will help me?
So I think I have the same problem with my delphiniums too. They get very tall and they kind of flop over onto the plants next to them. What I've decided to use is look at my garden center for different kinds of hoops, like peony hoops or very tall tomato hoops. They usually are not noticeable with those big delphiniums, and that seems to take care of them. The important thing with that is to put those hoops in place before the plants start to come up, and then to kind of, you know, guide those plants up into that hoop so that they stay connected. Another hoop that I've purchased too is actually 2 half hoops, and you can put them in front of the plant to help hold them up so they don't flop forward. And sometimes that works well too in conjunction with a trellising system or something if they're against a building, for example, to help hold them up as well. So look at the different opportunities or different products that we have for hooping those. Let's use that term. Hooping the plants so that they don't flop over. It's the same issue we have with peonies. So be sure to get those peony hoops in place before the plants start to come up.
All right. Listener says this via text: I have iris in several areas of my yard. This year, I had far fewer iris flowers than ever before. Any idea why? The green leaves and every clump of flowers look healthy, just not many buds.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes with if you've moved or divided your iris recently, sometimes they get buried too deeply. Those rhizomes need to show above the soil, and that will allow them to then produce more flower buds. Sometimes it's just a year that's kind of an off year for the plant. We had a tough winter, and that was really difficult on plants, so it could be that there might have been some winter kill on those rhizomes. It's great to hear the leaves are doing well. It's about that time to divide your iris, so it may be an opportunity if your iris have been growing really well for a long time and they're starting to produce less flowers, perhaps they need to be divided.
Okay. John, lawn question listener says this via text: my lawn looks great. However, it's hard to walk and cut as it's bumpy to walk on. I was told it was probably caused by earthworms. Do you agree, and how can this be treated I would need to hire someone to do that. What do you think? Is it always or generally earthworms doing that?
Yeah, there's earthworms are one of the main culprits for that particular problem. But it also can be just the natural heaving and thawing of the soil from the springtime, you know, over winter. That's most prevalent in the spring and can kind of linger throughout the rest of the year. That is typically something that most people are. It's a little bit more work to try to remedy that than what most people are willing to do. But you can contract that out. It's an atypical service. It's not something that's very common, but. I'm sure that you can find some lawn care companies that would be willing to do that. If you're looking to do that yourself, or if you're another DIYer that has the same issue, you can use compost for most lawns. If you have a very sandy soil, you can use sand. But compost works best for most Minnesota soils. And just using a very stiff garden rake and just kind of very lightly spreading the compost over the surface and then smoothing it out after. Just make sure you don't fully cover the lawn as you're doing it. It'll grow up through it and eventually get smoother.
Right. When is a good time, listener says, to cut down buckthorn, and what should I treat the stumps with? They're about 10 feet tall.
Oof, Doc. So, buckthorn is, you can cut that down now, and you can treat the stumps with a glyphosate or... I think that would be the best thing to treat it with. John, are you trying to remember if there's any advances in what to treat it with?
Yeah, typically a combination of triclopyr and glyphosate are both can both be recommended. If you are basal spraying, so or if you are completely or stump spraying as you are spraying that, triclopyr works pretty well for getting into the plant, but both would work at that point.
Okay. What's the best way, Texter says, to eradicate fungus gnats from any new plants to be brought into the house?
Well, fungus gnats, the larvae are in the soil, but they're in the soil because that soil has remained constantly wet. So it has not had a chance to dry out. And usually the plants that we bring back from the garden center, I'm not saying it's 100%, but usually they have been in a controlled environment, so they've been draining quite well. Most of the time we see fungus gnats where people have left their plants, have let them sit in water in their home landscape or in their home indoors. And those fungus gnats, the best way to get rid of them is to repot that plant. And when you do repot the plant, wash the roots so that you get any of the larvae or any of the cocoons off of your roots and out of your roots. So that's important. And then to repot with a clean pot, you can use the same one, but wash it with hot soapy water to remove any kind of residual from the insect. And then use fresh garden soil that has not been sitting outside. So you want to go and buy some fresh new garden soil from your garden center. Look for the garden soil that's been indoors go ahead and use that for repotting. So you're basically trying to remove all signs of that insect.
Oh, okay.
And John, be sure your pot drains well.
Is it okay, Texter says, to sod a large area in my yard this time of year?
Sure, you can. You just need to make sure that you keep it fully watered. And the way that you do that is you're trying to make sure that the sod never dries out. And you're going to be watering a couple of times a day just initially, and then eventually you're going to increase the volume of water but also increasing the time between watering events. So you're effectively trying to train the roots to grow, to get established. Just pulling up on the sod or peeling it back, you should be able to see how much it's rooting. And that'll give you an indication for how well it is establishing. But right now is certainly a time to do it. It's not the best time, but if you've got bare soil or if you need to sod an area, go ahead and get it sodded. Just make sure you keep it watered appropriately.
And I see, according to the forecast, if that's correct, that we have more chances of showers throughout this coming week. So
good time to sod.
That might help, yeah. Hang on, Julie and John. We'll take a quick break. Be right back on the other side with more of our Smart Garden Show brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. And Julie, by the way, if you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi answering those lawn and garden questions today. I always like to ask Julie, John, as you know, Julie, when are the Abiders playing next? And is John going to work on those bongos yet?
We are playing on July 10th. We're going to be out in Winsted, Minnesota, at an Art Council-sponsored event. And also we are playing at Buckhorn Days, not Buckthorn, but Buckhorn Days in Long Lake on July 12th, a big city festival. One of the things I do want to point out is that we are starting a new event at the Arboretum starting on July 29th, Tuesday nights, for 5 nights. It's called Pizza on the Farm. And it's an opportunity to come out and see the farm at the Arboretum. You can see the foodscape that John and Laura and I work on with our master gardeners. Also take a look at the Bee Center, the beautiful barn, and of course the excellent Fruitful Way and the farm plots as well. So we have music live, and Carl and I will be playing that first night to kick it off. So
right.
I hope you'll register for it. Go to the Arboretum site, arb.umn.edu. For more information.
I was thinking that a lot of folks, many are on the road at this time the show is on. They
yes.
don't have a chance to write things down. They can always check it out in the podcast. But
right.
We always like to tell folks, please check out the University of Minnesota website besides heading to the Arboretum. Extension.umn.edu. It's something you will be going back to again and again. And you can remind us, when are you going to be on next, Julie?
I'm back on July 12th.
12th. Okay.
Teresa's on next week.
Very good. What kind of fertilizer, texter says, should you be putting on in flower pots after all this rain? I have pansies, gerber daisies, diplodenia, verbena.
So it depends on the plants themselves. If they are showing signs of stress, say they're starting to get a little yellowing and looking a little peaked, you can use a liquid fertilizer, something that the plant can take up pretty readily. But you could also use a slow release fertilizer. That's a granular fertilizer, and that feeds the plants little by little, and you don't have to apply it as often. So if the plants are looking generally really good, use that slow release fertilizer. But if you're looks like you're planting a little punch, a little bit of extra nutrition, use a liquid fertilizer that they can take up more readily.
Okay. A texter asked this question. My coral bells and cosmos did not come up. Any possible reason for this?
We had a lot of plants. Well, cosmos are annuals. That's the first thing. And so you would have had to had seed that dropped or had seed put down seed. So that's probably why they didn't come up. But coral bells are perennials, and coral bells have a growing point right at the base of the plant that sits above the soil. They don't do well when they're buried deeply. So it could be if they were buried deeply, they could have had root rot. That's one issue. But if they're properly planted and they did not come back, sometimes it's the actual cultivar of coral bells. Some are less resilient to our Minnesota winters, but we also had an extremely tough winter with very little snow. And so if the plants were open to, you know, were not protected at all with leaves or with snow cover, they could have just been killed off by the winter. So those could be some reasons. I always look at it as an opportunity to get a new plant. So.
All right. I'm looking at the clock and I'm looking at the questions here. Can I trim my hedges and yews in these summer months and heat?
Yes, you can. Yeah. So go ahead and those are, you can prune those now.
Okay. Here's a question, and it's a good one. I'll just simplify it here. John Texter asked, how important is, and we never talk about this really, is a sharp lawnmower blade?
Yeah, that's a often overlooked source of stress on your lawn. I mean, all mowing is a stress, but if your mower blade is dull, it's more tearing the leaf blades as opposed to cutting them. So, and that creates more wounds and things like that for the grass plants. So a sharper mowing blade is going to allow you to mow your lawn faster, but it's also going to allow you to have a healthier lawn, most importantly. So you can take that to most garden centers, and they will sharpen it for you. You may want to just give them a call ahead of time to make sure that they do that service. Otherwise, you can change out the blade. But typically, you know, mower blades last the life of the lawnmower as long as they're well maintained. So they could be resharpened, and you can have a healthier lawn if should be once a year that you should be doing that.
Okay. And keep them balanced from what I've read or heard, too, after you've sharpened them.
Definitely.
All right. Let's see. I have a black-leafed, gorgeous clematis bush. It was supposed to be 4 feet tall, but it's over 6 feet tall. The flowers are white, prolific, with a wonderful scent. Not being a climber, it's way out of control, lanky, and falls over with winds. I currently have it staked with 6-foot poles. When the flowers are done, can I cut it back to a manageable height of maybe 4 feet?
It depends on the clematis. Some clematis grow back on last year's growth, and so you wouldn't cut those back. Some of them grow up from the base. So if it comes up from the base, yes, you could cut them back. I would look for a support system, and I would look at some sections of fencing that can be used to support that plant.
Another good question, and I'm not sure if you have the answer, Julie and John, but a texter wants to know, is the drought officially over?
I think that's a question for our Minnesota Department of Agriculture.
A climatologist?
Our climatologists, yes.
This listener wants to know, I have a Juneberry tree in my yard. Are the berries edible?
Oh, yeah. Make sure that it definitely is a Juneberry, also called a service berry or Saskatoon berry. But make sure it's identified correctly. That's key. If you do indeed know that it is a service berry, Amelanchier is the genus, then yes, the berries are edible. But without seeing the plant, you got to make sure that it's identified properly, because there are a lot of lookalikes that could be make you sick.
Can I have my crabapple trees trimmed right now?
No, you want to prune any apple trees, crabapple or production apples, in the late winter, and that is when the plant is dormant and the plant can recover from that pruning. It also we also have fewer pests and pathogens that can infect those plants, so do not prune them right now. It's a bad time, especially after the rain.
One more question I believe we have time for. Can I transplant a hardy peony bush now if the root ball is large enough?
Peonies are transplanted usually in August. So you want to hold off on that. Just keep it looking good, looking healthy, and wait to do that in August.
Hybrid tea roses, do I need to tip them in?
That's the Minnesota tip method. That is done in the winter. And yes, hybrid tea roses are not hardy in Minnesota.
Okay, we have less than 60 seconds to go. John, any last thoughts about fertilizing weed control before we say goodbye?
No, I think we pretty much covered fertilization weed control. Just make sure if you do have an irrigation system that your moisture sensor is working, that it's installed and it's working properly. Your lawn water, your lawn irrigation system shouldn't be running if the soil's wet or if it's recently rained.
All right, 10 seconds, Julie. Let's talk about the website and the Arboretum.
Visit extension.umn.edu. We have Ask a Master Gardener if you did not get your questions answered or you have some during the week. And also visit the Arboretum, arb.umn.edu. We have a lot of wonderful things blooming right now, including a lot of the lilies are blooming.
Beautiful. Thank you both. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Julie.
Thanks
John.
Thanks, Denny.